Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening. It's Sunday, December 21st, 2025. It's the first day of winter, and I know we sound a little different, Ed, because we're not in the studio.
Yeah, you're like in South America or someplace.
Yeah, we're down here, and it's nice and balmy and warm. It's about 80 degrees and nice weather. The water is blue. And what's it like where you are?
It's cold.
It's very cold. I've been paying attention to that. And it's my wife and I have just taken a little trip, and we're enjoying ourselves. I'll be back in a day or so, and it'll be nice to get back home. But, you know, it's the first day of winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's, I know there in on the East Coast, it's really, really cold. But, you know, it's amazing that God has given us this technology that we can record this via Zoom. That's what we're doing. I can see you. You can see me. The sound quality might not be the best. There is some construction going on behind me, but I think the filters pull all of that out. I'm assuming you can't hear that noise, Ed.
I cannot.
Okay, very good. So, you know, it's really good to be here. We're grateful for Ray Powers for allowing us to be on this platform all of these years, to be able to just open the Word of God and talk about these things openly without being censored. So many people, Ed, are censoring the Word of God. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. They're changing the words on the page.
They are. There are so many different Bible translations that are coming out that actually change the meaning of the text. This has been happening for a while, but it seems to be getting worse and worse as we get closer to the coming of Jesus. And I guess these things are to be expected. We are to expect these things to happen. But tell us a little bit about this ministry, Ed, please.
Well, our ministry is in Virginia, where it's really cold right now. And we have our meetings on Wednesday evening for prayer time / Bible study. And then on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, we have our church service, which is Saturday. And so we have a Bible study we call Sabbath School at 9:30. And then at 11, we have our worship hour. Now, if you're interested in joining us, we do Zoom our Wednesday night meeting and our Bible study, Sabbath School. And so you could contact me at ed@prophecyhope.com if you want a link.
Or you can contact me, mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to send a general email, you can't remember our names, you can send it to office@prophecyhope.com. And there are, I want to remind everyone too, Ed, to visit the website. There are lots of sermons. There's over 600 different sermons, and we have Bible series from every year, beginning in 2012. Many, many different topics. You can use the search bar to search for a particular topic if you like. And if there's a topic, excuse me, if there's a topic that you'd like to hear about that you can't find on the website, send us that email and email you or me, and we'll try to address those things right here on the radio program. And also, Ed, what do we try to do? We want to get the Word of God into people's hands. So what do we offer people?
So just to add to what you're saying, there's also radio programs on the website.
That's right. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, if you've listened to us long enough, our focus is on the Bible, what God's word says, not what we think it says or what we think it should say or what a church makes it say. It's just simply reading the words on the page. So in order for you to know if we're telling you the truth, you need to open a Bible. And if you don't have one, email us. We'll get you one.
Yes. We will send you a Bible. We'll get it to you one way or another. As long as it's a land where they will permit those things, we will make sure you get one. We've sent them to quite a few different lands. I'm surprised at some of the places we've had to send Bibles. And God has given us the means so far to be able to do that. And it's really a blessing. We typically will send you either the King James or the New King James. And That's just a provision that we give. There's no charge to you for that. So if you'd like one, there's no strings attached. We don't ask for any return address information. We're not going to be sending you other things. But if you want us to keep in contact with you, we're glad to do it. And Ed, is there any other business that we have to take care of before we get started?
I don't think so.
All right. Would you have a word of prayer for us, please?
Sure, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again grateful for this opportunity to come together to open your word, the Bible, and to read about the life and teachings of Jesus, how you used him on this earth to spread the hope for everyone on this earth, the hope of the gospel, the hope of salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we read these things, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand them, to be able to apply them to our lives. And Father, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, just to get started, I just want to say for anybody, if you're just now tuning in, we sound a little different because we're doing this via Zoom because Ed and I could not get to the studio. And so we wanted to make this program happen for you. Even while we're gone, we try to do these things. But Ed, last week we were in the studio and I think we had just be started in Matthew chapter 6. Do you remember where we were?
Well, the beginning of Matthew chapter 6 is verse 1.
That's
So,
where we
does
were.
that help?
That does help. Boy, you ask a
Okay.
stupid question, huh? That's
So,
good.
Matthew 6, verse 1, I was talking about, God has given us substance. He's given us things in this life that we can share with others. And, we like to share the word of God, but we can also help others in their time of need, whether it's through conversation, whether it's through giving them things they need, whether it's food or clothing or, shelter or whatever. God has given us that ability. But he says, when you help people, don't make a big deal about it. Don't tell everybody about it, because people that do that, they'll have this re the reward in this world. But do it in secret. Your father sees you, what do you do in secret, and he'll reward you for that.
Yeah, are we doing it for the accolades that we get from other people? Or are
Right.
we doing it because we really want to do these things for someone or for God even?
Right. Matthew 6, and starting in verse 5, is very important verses there. Jesus was in communication with his Father. His Father and his God is what he tells us. And his Father directed his mission, his ministry on this earth. He gave him words to say. He gave him the power to perform those miracles. He performed it through the Spirit of God. And the disciples have this question to him, can you teach us how to pray? Now, it doesn't say that in Matthew chapter 6, but it says in other gospels that the disciples came to him, asked him to teach them how to pray. And so Matthew 6:5 is his response to, this is how you should approach talking, communicating to God, to your father and my father, to your God and my God.
And I think it's important to back up for just a second in what you said before we read this what he said here. You mentioned how wow, I lost my thought. That's been happening to me a couple of times here lately. You were talking about prayer, and what did you say right before? There was something you said that has happened to me last week. I lost my thought and I had to get it back. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, let me see. I'm just reading what it says here in Matthew, verse 4. Oh, the charitable deed and secret about praying openly. I don't know. I lost it. It's gone. It's gone. I had something I
Okay.
wanted to share.
All right. Well, why don't we just go ahead and read this section? Let's start in verse 5. And if you could read through verse 15, why don't we just
Sure.
start there?
Okay, you want me to read this?
Yes, if you would,
All right,
please.
I'm reading from the New King James. It says, and these are Jesus' words. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And I did remember what I was going to say. You mentioned how Jesus prayed to his Father, and he did the will of his Father, and the Father gave him the power to do those things. This is something that Jesus recognized, that all of his authority, that all of his power came from his God and his Father. And this is something that sometimes we as human beings, I think many times, we tend to forget that all of the things that we do come from God. They're not of our own. Nothing that we have in this world is ours, and nothing that we have was provided by ourselves. It's the will of God has allowed us, his love has allowed us to be able to accomplish these things.
I was looking at my notes as you were reading, and I have a note in 1 John chapter 5.
Okay.
And we were talking about we're praying to God to have communication with him, to allow us to glorify his name, to thank him for everything that he does in his life, and to express our joy in life, but we can also express our needs to him as well. And so in 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says this. This is the Apostle John speaking. I have written these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, it's according to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So there's this condition, if that we ask according to the will of God or according to the will of his son, Jesus Christ, and that he hears us. We know that.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of it is Jesus, the Son of God, recognized this, that all things came from his Father, and that it's his Father's will was more important than his own.
That's what he
And
prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will,
yes.
but yours.
And really that's the prayer we should be praying. This is what Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching them that dependence isn't in and of ourselves. We can't depend on ourselves because we are inevitably, we're going to want to do what our nature is. We're going to want to pull away from God instead of draw closer to him.
It's interesting in the beginning of the section that you read, it was talked about when you pray, enter into your room, shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. The same thing that talked about doing well for others, do it in secret, and your Father will reward you openly. And it says in verse 7, when you pray, do not babble vain words as the nations. For they think that in their much speaking, they shall be heard. There's some churches that seem to repeat the same words over and over and over and over and over again for some kind of idea that this is what they should do, that God's going to hear them because of their many words. But in verse 7 of Matthew 6, it says, don't babble vain words as the nations do. And so he tells them, do not be like them, for your father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Isn't that interesting? God is so involved in our lives that, Mark, you're maybe what, 1,500 miles away from where I am?
I'm about, let's see, a little over 2,000 miles away from where you are.
Okay. So, in spite of you being there, maybe being here, God knows your needs, your immediate needs right now, right today, and He knows mine, even though we're this far apart.
And you
So,
know what's, go ahead, go ahead.
God isn't limited. He's interested in your life. He's interested in providing those things which are good for you, which may be things different from the world says is good for you, but He wants you to have an enjoyable life, a good life, by following him and his commandments. That's why he's given them.
Absolutely. And this isn't part of, a lot of people, I hear a lot of preachers preach this prosperity gospel. That's not what you're saying. I noticed you
No.
said by keeping his commandments. In other words, God has, for lack of a better word, he requires something of us, just like any relationship. If you have a relationship, whether it's a friendship or a marriage or a work relationship, there are requirements. There are things that each individual, there are certain respects and certain things that you expect of that person. Well, God expects us to live up to his commandments,
You
and
know,
that's part of life.
I'm a physical therapist, and most people want to be in good health, but there's things you have to do to be in good health. You can't just sit on the couch eating potato chips. You're not going to be in good health. And if
Oh,
you
man.
want a good life, a good quality of life, and not be ill, not have disease, so on, there's certain things you have to do. One of them is exercise. One of them, you have to be careful what you eat. There's maybe medication you need to take in order to be helpful. But you need to do these things to have a good life. The same it is with God and spiritual things.
There's
You have
effort
to do
involved.
certain things in order to experience a good life. You can't be stealing. You can't be committing adultery, fornication. You can't be lying. You can't be dishonoring your father and mother. You can't ignore God or take his name in vain. You're not going to have a good quality of life if you do those things. So it's
Sure.
God's commandments are given to help us have a good life on this earth.
Yeah, they're actually there as a protection for us. They really
Yes.
are. They serve as a protection. And then the other part, when you mentioned, Ed, that you are there and I'm here, we're miles and miles apart, but God knows what we need. And sometimes when we have that relationship with God and we're communicating with him every day through prayer, through Bible study, we see those ways that he's working in our lives, especially at the end of the day when I wind down. Sometimes I reflect back on my day and I can say, God was actually working there. I can see that he caused this to happen this particular way. We need to take time to do that. We need to take time to reflect on those things. So just because he knows what we need before we ask, he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. It's kind of like you might see somebody struggling and you think, well, I could help them, but I don't want to overstep their bounds. Well, God gives allows us to make the choice whether we want to worship him or not. He doesn't force us.
And again, I want to reinforce what we read in 1 John chapter 5. What we ask of him needs to be within his will because he knows what's best for our lives and we don't. He knows the future. He knows the consequences of the choices that we make. And so when we pray to him and the answer may be no, or the answer may be not right now, he knows what's best.
Or the answer might not be totally in accordance with our will. We might need a car for transportation to get to our job, to get to church, to get to school. We need a car. We might want a specific car. We might want a red sports car or whatever, but God might provide us with a little four-door beat-up brown car. But he will provide for you. He will provide what you need, not necessarily what you want.
It talks about that in verse 9, Jesus says, therefore, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. God is holy. You know, there's a verse in the Bible. It says, be ye holy as your Father in heaven, or God is holy. You know, we were created in the image of God. We were created to be like him and his son, Jesus Christ. But sin came in, Satan came in and deceived the world and deceived us. And so Jesus is saying, our Father in heaven is holy. You know?
And the other thing in that verse, it's not, I know that there are people that put the emphasis on the name or the word Jehovah or Yahweh. It's not the necessarily the word or that name. It's the character. It's like Ed, your name is Ed Short. When I hear Ed Short, there are certain characteristics, certain qualities that I think of. So when I hear the name of God expressed, it's not just the word, it's his character, it's his qualities, it's his love, it's all of the attributes that he has. That's what it means by make his name or keep his name holy. We recognize the character of God, who he truly is.
Right. You know, it says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, you know, there's a different attitude, a different understanding, a different thankfulness for our Father in heaven, for God, because we know that his will is for the best of everything. And so to recognize that, Jesus is saying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because currently his will is not being done on earth.
No, it isn't. And you know, when I think about this, sometimes I used to do a lot of ministry from door to door. I did that for many years, and I still do that on occasion. But I want to point out here that one part of this prayer that is missing a lot. We say it, and I've heard people repeat it, but they don't stop and think about the words. And Ed, you're really big on seeing the words on the page, and so it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked about that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we think of heaven, we think of a place now with no sin. I think that most people think of just a beautiful, beautiful place. But that for that will to be done on earth, we don't think about that. But I just want to go back to Psalm 37, if you don't mind, just for a moment, because this is not just a New Testament idea. Ed, you appreciate saying what did Jesus quote when he quoted the Bible? So,
His father,
he
the Old
quoted,
Testament.
his father and the Old Testament. Every word that he spoke was from his father, and every quote that was a Bible quote came out of the Old Testament. So think about what this is saying in the Old Testament. This is in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 9. It says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth." We read that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, when we started this study. "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So this is telling us, and what Jesus was praying for was when God's kingdom comes fully about, when all sin is wiped out, after the 1,000 years, the earth is going to be restored. It's going to be renewed. It's going to be recreated back to the way that it was supposed to be when Adam and Eve were created. And that's what Jesus is praying.
People don't realize too that sin began in heaven
That's
with
true.
Lucifer. And so Jesus here is in verse 10, says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven, and it needs to be done on earth. And Jesus applied that to his life. He came to do the will of his father. So I want to read John 6, chapter 6, verses 38 through 40. Again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have everlasting life, and that I will raise him up on the last day." So Jesus came to do the will of his Father. Do we understand that God has a plan for our lives and that we can be used by God to make life better for other people, not only physically, but by spreading the gospel, by teaching them about salvation through Jesus Christ, that brings about a change in their life, a new creation, a new man, that's created in, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so this is God's will for each one on this earth. It doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what genealogy you have. It's an offering for every person on this earth,
And
that we can become obedient to God. We can, by being obedient, experience a better life, and we can be used by God to accomplish his will on this earth, just as his son was.
Amen. That's why Jesus is expressing these words, so that we will propagate that gospel and let people know, so that they can have this hope that he's giving to us, that he's given to us. It's just, do we accept it?
Right.
Do we accept it? And you mentioned about our these things affect us not only in our spiritual health, but our mental health and our physical health. It all plays a part. If we do the things that God has asked us to do, every aspect of our life will be better. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through trials or troubles or have pain or
Right.
suffering. Sometimes that can increase. But the joy that you have going through those things really is, you can't really explain it until you've experienced it.
Yeah. And so if we go back to Matthew 6, and I'm going to start with verse 10 again. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus understands we have physical needs. We need nutrition, we need food. And this is part of his prayer that he's teaching to the disciples. Give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs for the day, whether it's food, clothing, shelter. But
Yes.
Jesus also says, "I'm the bread of life."
That's right.
We need to partake of this gift God has given us through the Son of his, through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have Christ in our hearts and our lives daily. We need his experience, his power, his victory that he's accomplished while he was on this earth. He can provide that for us as well. And he brings us the Father, God,
Amen.
Yahweh, Jehovah, into our lives. And so give us this day our daily bread, not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs as well. And it goes on in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." Forgiveness. Maybe we don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, I think that there's a number of things that I think we don't really talk about enough. When we think, if I just back up for a moment to the give us our daily bread, you touched on it, Ed, you mentioned it. Even in the Old Testament, we see that God provided bread. He provided food for the Israelites each
Yes.
day, and enough for the seventh day
Yeah.
even when they needed that. And he also provides us not only the physical bread, but like you said, Jesus is the bread of life. So we can't neglect our spiritual need. Most of us are not going to neglect our need for hunger, for food. Most of us aren't going to, we don't worry about that. But when things are good, You said this the other day in Sabbath school. When things are good, we tend to forget. We tend to forget to approach God. We tend to push him to the back. But this needs to be, it should be just as important as eating a meal. How many times do we eat a day? Most people eat at least 3 times a day, some more, some 5 or 6 times, small meals. Our prayer life, our time with God can be the same way. We don't just, it's not just at bedtime, it's not just at supper time. We should be approaching him throughout the day. That daily bread is so important. And that is how, go ahead, go ahead.
So you're talking about making this a habit in your life.
Yes, just as much as we need that food for sustenance, we need God and his son in our lives for sustenance.
Scheduled time for them.
You have to do it. You have to make time to do it. And it's tough sometimes. When you're hungry, have you ever been real busy during the day and you forget to eat because you were so busy? And then at the end of the day, you feel drained. Well, you know what happens when you develop a relationship with God? If you go a day and you don't approach him, you don't feel right. It's the same way. It's the same way.
In verse 12, we started talking about forgiving. We're asking God to forgive us for our debts, for our sins. God has been merciful. He's been loving and kind, and he forgives me for my sins. Should we not be willing to do the same thing for others in our lives, that we can forgive them? Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying what they've done to you may not is not wrong. They shouldn't have done it. We look at the news and you see the evil throughout the world right now. But God says, or Jesus in this prayer is to his Father saying, "Forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors." It doesn't mean they shouldn't suffer consequences for what they do.
Right.
They're breaking the law of the land as well as the law of God. But we need to be able to forgive them so, if possible, we can share the gospel with them. Can you share the gospel with someone you have something against?
We should.
Yeah, but that would be hard. If you learn and look at your own life and examine yourself and your what you've done in your life and realize God has forgiven you for those things because of the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, we should be willing to forgive others for the things that we've experienced from them in this life. And maybe the first thing you can do is maybe you don't want to interact with them, okay? Start praying for them. It will
That's
change
very
your
true.
attitude towards them. Just pray for something simple that maybe they can have a good day, or maybe that they'll open the Bible and read a few verses, or maybe they'll get that job they're looking for, or whatever. Just something simple. Just start praying for someone that you have a problem with. Maybe you can would consider them your enemy. Maybe it's a relative.
Yeah.
Maybe it's your husband or wife. Start praying for them.
Yeah, it's so true. It's a difficult thing to do that, but I, from just firsthand experience, I've found that when I do that, I actually, it's almost like I have a weight lifted off of me somehow. And I guess that's part of the, when we have debt, we always call it being weighed down with debt. And we're weighed down with sin. And so if I'm not willing to give that which God has given to me, am I worthy of what he's given me? That's really what this is saying.
Yeah, so it's usually when you have disagreement with somebody and it goes on and on, you don't feel good about it.
Right.
I'm sure the other person hopefully doesn't either. But forgiveness is a way to relieve that burden, even if the other person doesn't accept it. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness from somebody else for something you've done for them.
Yeah.
People do that in different ways, by verbally, asking for forgiveness, by giving them gifts, saying, "Okay, I'm sorry." I didn't really, I want to keep our friendship or our relationship, whatever it is. There's different ways to do that, but you can do that as your part as well. So it can relieve stress in your life. It can relieve tension. It can make your life better if you do those things. So in Matthew 6:13, Jesus goes on with this prayer and says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, God doesn't lead us into temptation. He delivers us from temptation. He delivers us from evil. So, in terms of the, it's interesting. The Good News Bible says, "Do not bring us to hard testing." The easy to read version says, "Don't let us be tempted, but save us from the evil one." Interesting. Recognizing that there is an evil one, the devil, Satan, and his, verse 13, "Don't allow us to be tempted. Instead, rescue us from the evil one." There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 I want to go to. It talks about temptation, and it's verse 13. And this is, let me get to the Modern King James. And it says, "No temptation has taken you but what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also will make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it." So this is a beautiful promise in the Bible that God is not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able to tolerate, but also with that temptation, he's going to make a way of escape so that you can bear it. So this is a beautiful promise.
It is. At times, it may seem there might be things that we go through that seem like there's no way out, or it's intolerable. I can't deal with this anymore. But those are the times that you can approach God and tell him how you're feeling. Tell him how you're feeling. Ask him to help deliver you out of whatever that is, or to give you the strength and ability to be able to endure what you're going through, to be able to come out on the other side with what he wants you to learn from this experience.
Wow, you just used the word endure. Again, I just have these notes. I've been through this section of the Bible before, and I've added notes to specific verses. And in this verse, it goes to James chapter 1. And I want to read verses 12 through 15 of James chapter 1. It says, this is the Modern King James, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one being tempted say, 'I am tempted from God,' for God is not tempted by evil, and he tempts no one. But each is tempted by his lust, being drawn away and seduced by them. Then when his lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is fully formed, brings forth death." We talked about that the other day. Sin begins in your heart. So here it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them who love him." We're not tempted by God. God is not tempted by evil, and he tempts no one, but he provides a way of escape through his son, Jesus Christ.
That's an amazing thing. Endurance is something that's hard to have sometimes. It seems like patience and endurance kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
That word patience, Revelation 14:12 says, "Here's the patience of the saints." And I've looked that up recently, that word patience, and it's cheerful, hopeful, endurance, patience. It's not only having endurance and patience, but our hope is in God. We know that God will bring us through this thing, so we can have faith. We can ho have hope because, God has sent his son. Jesus says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world."
That's right.
So we can have this hope that God will get us through whatever we're going through.
And I think that the more that we are aware of those things, Ed, I can see that God has got me through things that at the time I didn't realize that he was working with me, that
Yeah.
he was actually protecting me. And then looking back, I think, boy, how much worse would that have been? How much worse could that have been had I not had that protection from God, had he not been working with me in that regard?
So let's continue on in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 16. After Jesus said this prayer, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." So God expects us to be like him. We read earlier in Matthew chapter 5 that we're to be the sons of God. And being the sons of God, we're supposed to be like God, who sends rain and sunshine on the evil as well as the good.
Ed, isn't
He's
there? Oh, go ahead.
saying, if God's saying, if you want me to forgive you, which I want to do, I'm willing to do, I've sent my son, so you can have forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin. But if you don't forgive others the way I forgive you, then I'm not going to forgive you.
There is a parable that Jesus gives about a man who had a great debt and he had workers and he demanded a certain amount. Do you remember that account? It goes along with what we're talking about here about forgiving. I don't have
There's an
access.
account in Matthew 18. We can go there first.
Okay.
Matthew 18, you're familiar with this. Matthew 18, 21 through 35.
Okay, you want me to read that?
So this is the Modern King James,
Okay.
verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until 7 times?" So Peter is asking, how many times should I forgive my brother when he does something against me? And he says, "Should I do 7 times?" Maybe he thought that was a lot.
It seems like
And
a lot.
so, yeah. And Jesus said unto him, "I do not say to you until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven has been compared to a certain king who desired to make an accounting with his servants. And when he had begun to count, one who brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but he had nothing to pay his Lord with. And his Lord commanded that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold and payment be made. Then the servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, I will pay you all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is very small compared to what this man owed the king. And he lays hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' And his fellow servant fell down to his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt." How are you going to pay your debt if you're in prison?
Yeah, you can't.
So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after he called him, and said to him, "O wicked servant, I forgave all your debt because you begged me. Should you not also have pity on your fellow servant? Even I had pity on you, even as I had pity on you." And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my fa heavenly Father do also to you, unless each one of you from your hearts forgive his brother their trespasses.
So this is important. This last verse is really important. It doesn't say so that it looks like you've forgiven your brother.
Yes.
You have to forgive them from the heart.
Yeah.
In the Bible it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
So if you haven't forgiven from the heart, it will eventually come out.
Yes.
It will
Yes.
eventually come out. And so
You
this
know,
goes right along with what we're talking about in Matthew chapter 6.
When we look at our own lives and see the things, the horrible, sinful things we've done in our own lives to others, to our friends, to our family, to strangers, whatever, God is willing to forgive you from that. But you need to be willing to give others the same mercy, the same forgiveness, the same love, the same kindness that He's giving us. Otherwise, God is going to do the same to you.
That's right. I mean, it's only fair. He's not asking anything more from us. Actually, he asks much less from us than what he gives to us, but
Yes.
he's not asking for anything more. And that's what I love about the God that we serve. He never asks anything from us that he himself hasn't already done or given.
In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it tells us that he's not going to allow us to be tempted above what we're able to handle, but with every temptation, prepare a way of escape. This is the way of escape. The way to be able to forgive others is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, living in your heart and mind. He can empower you to do that. You may not be able to do it on your own. Whatever's happened may be so bad, so horrible. You may not be able to do it on your own, but you can do it through the power of a living Christ living within you.
Because it really, what he does, he brings us not only Christ's spirit in us, but he brings us the spirit of the Father. And if we
Yes.
have the spirit of the Father in us, then his will be done. Exactly what Jesus prayed for.
So, any other thoughts on this idea of forgiveness? Now, not only is it talked about during the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus talks about it afterwards. It's obviously very important. That's why he came to this earth,
I think
for
that
forgiveness of our sins and to enable us to forgive others. By God sending the Spirit of Christ into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
yeah, and Ed, I think what you said is this is I think this is truly overlooked, not just by people in general, but even in the Christian church. I think that it's something that we don't spend enough time talking about. And it's good to go back to these accounts like we just did in Matthew 18, look at what Jesus was talking about there, apply the forgiveness that God has given us, because none of us, not one of us, are worthy of what he has provided.
In Matthew 12, it talks about God chastising those that he loves. He's not tempting us, but he's testing us and disciplining us when we're not doing what we should do. There's consequences in this life, not only between people, but between us and God. If we don't follow his commandments and do his will in our lives, then there's consequences. Look at the prophet Jonah. There's consequences for not following the will of God. And he experienced that. He was thrown overboard in a storm. By the way, Jonah told the sailors to throw him
He
overboard,
did.
and because he knew it was his fault. And he's swallowed by a whale. And in that well, he decided, well, maybe it's good that I obey God. So he prayed to God and said, okay, I'll do what you want me to do.
It's these accounts. I think so many times people read these things and think of them as fairy tales, but they are Bible accounts. It's Bible history. These things happened here on the earth, and so we can learn from those things.
Many of the accounts, the stories of people's lives and their interaction, their good things and the bad things are to give us direction, instruction in how we are to live our lives on this earth.
Yes, they are. And so again, I think these things that we're talking about, forgiving, it says in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 6, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has already provided everything that we need to be delivered from the evil one. It's already been provided.
I think people that are listening, they may not have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, need to understand that we're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. We're involved intimately in that war, whether you can see it or not. Because Satan is continually going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And that includes you and me and whoever's listening to us on this radio program.
Yes.
And that's the battle. It's between God and his son and the devil. And so the devil is trying to attack God by attacking us and deceiving us about what's right and wrong. We've talked about this a lot before. What's right is now wrong in this world, and what's wrong is now right in this world.
It's so
It's
true.
upside down.
It is. It's completely backwards. Ed, you made a comment there, and it might raise a question in people's minds. Well, why, if, how does the devil tempt God by tempting us? Well, we're supposed to be children of God. And
Right.
think about it. Anybody who is a parent, anyone listening to this who is a parent of a child, if someone attacks your child, that's an attack on you. That's an attack on you personally, and you take that very personally. And you would rather, most parents would rather have the person come after them rather than their child. So think about how you, as a parent, are protective of your child. God feels the same way with us. We are his children. He allows it. There are certain things you have to allow your child to go through in order for them to grow, in order for them to be an adult, in order for them to recognize that this world is not an easy place to live in. So you allow them to go through those things to prepare them for what's ahead. God
Right.
does the same with us. It's no different.
And you instruct them and you discipline them
Yes.
to way so they can choose well, so they can have self-control. When the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, his name was Saul, he was out persecuting Christians, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus says, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, Paul didn't believe in Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus said, "You're persecuting me." Why did he say that? Because he was persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, and just as you said, when Satan persecutes us, he's in this war against God and his son. Revelation 12 talks about the Satan was before God accusing the brethren, constantly accusing the brethren. Look, this person's a follower of you, and yet they're doing these things. How can that be? They need to be destroyed because Satan knows he's going to be destroyed because of his disobedience.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the thing, because the old saying, misery loves company, right? And the devil is miserable, and he wants to take as many with him as he can, and he's trying to prove a point. I think really we read in 2 Thessalonians about if people want to believe the lie, God will send them strong delusion. He's not going to force them. Well, delusion is when you if you're deluded, you've convinced yourself that something is right when it's not. And you're just, your mind is completely contorted to believe something that's wrong. And this is where the devil is. He's all out to go and do what he's been doing from the beginning, from when it started in heaven, and he began sin here, propagating it on the earth with Adam and Eve.
So we're in this spiritual war. And so when you have difficulties in your life, go to God, ask him about it, tell him to direct you. Maybe you may need something, a job, maybe need food or whatever, or maybe you need to restore a relationship. God will help you with that through your son. But be prepared because the devil is bringing this to you. He doesn't want those things to occur. And he wants to separate you from God. He wants you to doubt God. He wants to separate you from his son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have salvation.
Yes, that's right. We have about 3 minutes, Ed. Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
So, there's a verse that Paul talks about, I think is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm not sure. It says, "Pray without ceasing."
Oh, yeah.
And here Jesus is giving this prayer. Any thoughts on that?
Pray without ceasing. I mentioned earlier that When you, how you mentioned in a Sabbath school that when things are good, we tend to put God on a back burner. To pray without ceasing means that all day long, when you're with someone, if you're with a family member, you're driving along in a car, usually there's conversation if you're with someone. Or when you're by yourself, have a conversation with God. Tell him what's on your mind. Share with him. You might just thank him for the things that you're able to do. Talk with him. You can talk with him just like you talk with the person sitting next to you. You really can. And when you do that, whether it's silently or vocally, verbally, it's going to draw you closer to him. This is part of praying without ceasing. Pray for others, pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for those who are persecuting you, right?
Be thankful. I mean, drive along, see the beauty around you. Just thank God, Father, this is beautiful. Thank you for providing this. Just
Yes.
something simple like that.
It's so
Oh man,
true.
that sunshine feels so warm right now. Thank you.
Yeah. We thank people around us, but we don't think about it. God is always, he's always with us. He's always there in times of need, in the good times and the bad times. And we have about 1 minute to finish up. Is there any other text? Did you want to finish reading this passage?
Well,
Just through verse
no,
15?
let's go back to forgiveness a little bit.
Okay.
Through this program, has God put something on your heart? Is there someone you need to go to and make things right? Is it bothering you? Don't wait. Just simply say, okay, I'm sorry. I want to be your friend again, or to your husband or wife, to your son or daughters, your mother or father, whatever, whoever it may be. Just take that step. God will help you with that.
If you don't have the courage to do it, ask him to give you the courage. Ask him to help you to be able to forgive others. Because it's a difficult thing. I know. I've dealt with this with family and friends. And I've had thoughts that I shouldn't have. And I've had to ask for forgiveness for those thoughts. And then to help me to overcome those thoughts. And then to be willing to extend that forgiveness to that person, just like in that account of Matthew 18 that we read. So Ed, we're out of time. This has been good. I know we sound a little different. We're on Zoom, but let's have a closing word of prayer, okay? Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be able to come together, even though we're miles apart. We thank you for this technology. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just ask that we can apply these things that we're learning here in this Sermon on the Mount. Help us to be able to pray and be able to forgive. And Father, we're just so grateful for everything you do for us. We ask for your blessing, and we ask that you'll be with us until we come together again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, there's a little background noise here. Friends, I hope that you will tune in again next week, right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.